Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing what we had discussed at the end of the previous shir, the halacha, the issue of chanifa, of improper flattery. Says the Gemara, Vamar Belozer, Kol Amachnif L'Chaveroi, if somebody flatters somebody else, he will fall eventually into his hands. The Mefarshim point out on what is the wording of the Gemara when it says hamachnif l'chaveroi. What does the Gemara say l'chaveroi? So Mefarshim explained, for as we learned, the Gros says this word, as we learned in the previous Gemara, muta l'hachnif b'olam hazeh rishoim, that in this world we're allowed to be machnif rishon. So that's what the Gemara says, that we're referring to chaveroi here. We're talking about someone who's his friend. So he doesn't have to be concerned that this individual is a rasha, and why, and I therefore have to be fear him. He's my friend, and therefore there is no permit to be machnif him. In fact, Tosfos does say, however, that in a situation of bikuach nefesh, then chanifa would be mutter. And I saw that Rav Moshe, Rav Yashiv, other paiskim discuss, why does Tosfos have to teach us that it's mutter to be chanif in a situation of sakanas nefashis? We know that except for avodah zarah, shfichas damim, and gilui ha'rayus, or mitzvahs and averus are set aside in a situation of bikuach nefesh. So why does Tosfos have to teach us that it's mutter? So Rav Moshe says, since as we have been learning that in the previous year, and the terrible consequences of chanifa, and that somebody who does chanifa, it's iveis hadin, is as if he has corrupted judgment. And we know that the Gemara speaks many times throughout Shas about the serious ramifications of being ma'avis din, of corrupting din. That's why our Gemara teaches us that, that's why Tosfos has to teach us, still in a situation of bikuach nefesh, chanifa would be mutter. Rabbi Yashiv says a similar teretz. He says, as we have learned, and will continue learning, chanifa could cause very serious consequences. So therefore one might think that he should not be allowed to be chaynif, even in a situation of sakonis nefashis, for the consequences are so serious. That's why the Gemara, that's why Tosfos teaches us that those consequences will only chas v'shalom happen if somebody is chaynif, not in a situation of sakonis nefashis. Of course, if it's a situation of sakonis nefashis, these ramifications will not come. So Rabbi Elazar continues saying, if somebody chas v'shalom does do chanifa, he will fall into the hands of the person who he flattered. V'meina noifel b'yodai, if he doesn't fall into his hands, then he'll fall into noifel b'yad bonav, in the hands of his children. V'meina noifel b'yad bonav, if he doesn't fall into that person, into the children's hands, noifel b'yad ben benoi, then he'll fall into the hands of that individual's grandson. From where do we see this? Because the Gemara quotes, Shenem v'yomer yirmiyo ha'novi, Amen kenyas Hashem yakim istverecha. There was a Navi Sheker whose name was Hananya, who had said that the Golos Yechanya and the Klei HaMikdash would return to Yerushalayim after 2 years. When Yirmiya heard what Hananya said, instead of protesting and saying it's not true, he said, Amen kenyas Hashem yakim istverecha. Now, of course, Yirmiya did not mean to say that he was agreeing with what Hananya, the Navi Sheker, was saying. What Yirmiya meant to say here was that, halavai, what you're saying is true, even though I know that it's actually not true. And that's what, but still, since it does sound like he's trying to flatter him, so the pasuk says, v'hiu b'shar ben yomin, b'shom ba'al b'kudas, Ushmay Yiriyah ben Shlamiyah ben Hananya. the pasuk is referring that the Kazdim were surrounding Yerushalayim, and the Mitzrim were also approaching. And Yirmiyah, at that time, decided to slip out of Yerushalayim to go to Eretz Binyamin, where he had inherited a piece of property, to take hold of the piece of property that inherited. As he was leaving Yerushalayim, he was caught by this individual who was accusing him that he was joining forces with the Kazdim. And the pasuk says that this individual, Yiriyah, the Yishpas says Yiriyah Hanavi Lamer, he grabbed hold of Yirmiyah Hanavi and he said to him, Ela Kazdim Atanoifil, you're going to join the Kazdim. And Yirmiyah says, Sheker, it's false. Of course I'm not going to join the Kazdim. Piksiv, however the pasuk says, V'yispois Yirmiyah b'Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyah grabbed onto Yirmiyahu, V'yivar al-Sarim, he brought him to the ministers, and they put him into jail, and they beat him. And as the Mashal points out, Yirmiyah was obviously a Rasha. So why does the pasuk go out of its way to tell us his Yichus, that he was the son of Salmiel ben Chananya, to point out that why did Yirmiyahu fall into the hands of Yirmiyahu? Because he was the grandson of Chananya, who Yirmiyahu, as we learned earlier, had improperly sort of flattered, and that, as we're learning, is the punishment for flattery. V'amar b'loza, kol eda shiyesh ba chanufa, any community has in this flaw that they have chanifa, Musa kanida is repulsive like a nida. Shnema kiadas chonof galmud. She came karcha yom in the islands. They call karen nida galmuda. Nida is called a galmuda. Why is she called galmuda? My galmuda. Gamula dom and bala. She separated for her husband. And so too is a chonof. The farshim discuss why is a chonof compared to a nida. So one pshat is that there are two types of tumas. There's a tumas mess and there's a tumas nida. A tumas mess comes to a person because he came in contact with a mace. A tumas nida, on the other hand, emanates from the person himself. And that's the same as chanufa. Chanifa emanates from the individual himself, not from outside. Another pshat is that we know that one has to separate himself, a husband separates himself from his wife when she's a nida, so should one separate himself from chanifim. As we find indeed, the Torah teaches us that Yeshua and Kalev, we discussed this earlier in Amasechta, Yeshua and Kalev separated themselves from the rest of the Meraglim when they acted improperly. Another pshat that I saw that is that if you'll have a woman who's a nida, even if she puts on the nicest clothing and makes herself up nicely, she's still a nida. The same thing with a chaynif. Even though he sounds like he's saying nice words and nice things, he's really participating in unacceptable behavior like a nida. However, one more pshat, just like we know that a nida can become tahor, the lesson here also is that even if someone, Rahman al-Tzlan, has this flaw of being a chaynif, he can do tshuva and correct himself and become and act properly. Varna b'loza, kol eide shesh b'chanufin, any community with its chanifa, l'saif goyla, they go into golos. K'siv hacha, kidas chanuf galmud, v'ksiv hosom v'martel v'avcha mi yolulis eila v'anishakula v'gamuda gola v'sura, that I am going into golus, or because of chanif, because of chanifa. Why, explained the Mefarshim, is there a punishment of golus for someone who is a chanif? One pshat is because a chanif represents a person who isn't strong in his opinions. A person who's strong in his opinion isn't going to flatter someone who he doesn't agree with. Golus also represents somebody who can't stay firm where he belongs, he's being sent to Golos. Another pshat is, as we learned in the previous year, somebody who is a chaynif falls into Gehenna. Not that the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that if his children will not act properly, they will either go into Golos or they will go into Gehenna. So we see that Golos and Gehenna, so to speak, travel together. So if there's an einish of Golos, if there's an einish of Gehenna for someone who is a chaynif, there will be a similar punishment for someone who, there will also be a punishment of Golos. Continues the Gemara. Amri Yirmiyahu ba'Abba. Abba kitos emakalos pnei Shechina. The four groups of people that will not see the Shechina. What pshat that they will not see the Shechina? So the Yad Ramah and the Beis Elokim say that even though we learned that somebody who's a chaynif, or these other things that we're learning now in the Gemara, are can do tshuva, their tshuva will only take them up to a certain status. Not that they will ever be able to see the Shechina Basklaplaria Hami'ira. They will never be able to see the Shechina clearly because they've done things that completely remove them from being completely ever part of Klal Yisrael. Similar, they explain, the Mashal says, to a Metzora. Because the Yaros Devash explains. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents Shleimus, perfection, Tamimus. These people are just the opposite of being Tamim, and since they're the opposite of being Tamim, that's why they can't be Zoicha to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who represents Tamimus. And I saw that the Sharm Tzion Balocha points out that the Gemara is speaking about Arba Kitos, about groups. So he says what the Gemara means to say, that it's certainly much worse when a person has these character flaws, that not only does he have these character flaws, but he participates in kitos. He participates with groups of people who act in this way. Certainly, that is far worse. Who are these four groups? Keis leitzim, people who make latzanas, who joke about everything. Keis chanofim, keis shkarim, people who lie. The keis mesapri lashon hara, and people who say lashon hara. Of course, as the Mefarshim ask, there are many other very serious sins, the Aveira Balgaiva, being arrogant. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu says he can't withstand. So why is our Gemara emphasizing these people? So the Mashal says the common denominator of all of these individuals is that their Aveira come from speaking, that they speak and they say the wrong things. Certainly, there are other very serious Aveiras. Case leitzim, tiksiv, maishich yodis leitzim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates himself from leitzim. Case chanofim, tiksiv, kiloi lefonof, chonof yovoi. Somebody who does chanifa cannot come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kate shakorim, tiksiv, doive shakorim, layikoi lemneged enai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot withstand somebody who lies. And as the Mashal explains, what's pshat in this pasuk, layikoi lemneged enai, a liar thinks that he could get away with his lies. He doesn't realize enai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are all over and he sees everything. I also saw that the Sfarim say that if somebody chas v'shalom feels that he's about to say a lie and he wants to be able to control himself and avoid saying the lie, if he says this pasuk of doiv shkorim layikon l'neged enai, that is a way that will be a skula that prevent them from saying something untrue. Case milas sapli lashon hara tiksev kloy kel chafetz rasha ataloy gur chara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot remain with somebody who says ra. Tzadik asher lo yigur b'megar chara. Somebody who says lashon hara cannot be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hanu loch elu namarim. Hanu loch elu namarim. Hanu loch elu namarim. The next parak we begin to learn is the parak Meshuach Mechama. As we learned in the beginning of the previous parak, where we spoke, where the Mishnah taught us which things had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh and which things could be said in any language, one of the things that the Mishnah taught us was that the parasha Meshuach Mechama had to be said b'Lashon HaKadosh. A Mashuach Mechama is a Kohen who was anointed. The Rishonim say he had to be specifically anointed for this position, even though we know that a Kohen Gadol could attain his position through Ribui Begadim, putting on the Shemoneh Begadim. That's applicable, explains the Michas Chinuch, to a Kohen Gadol, because a Kohen Gadol is going to do the Avodah, which has to be done with the Shemoneh Begadim. However, the Mashuach Mechama doesn't do the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he doesn't wear the Shemoneh Begadim. The only way he could be appointed to his position is by being anointed. Tosfos points out, and he gives a speech that we're going to discuss at great length to the people before they go out to war. Tosfos explains that if we look at the Mishnah at the beginning of the previous perek, the Mishnah first mentioned the din of Egla Rufa, and only after mentioning the din of Egla Rufa does it mention the din of Mashuach Mechama. Yet in our Mishnah we find the reverse order. Why? So the Tosfos Yontif explains the reason our parak of Mashuach Mechama comes before the next and last parak of the Masechta of Egla Rufa is because in the Torah the parasha of Mashuach Mechama is taught before the parasha of Egla Rufa. However, Tosfos says that since the halachas of Mashuach Mechama, there are less halachas regarding Mashuach Mechama than Egla Rufa, therefore the Gemara first teaches us the halachas of a Mashuach Mechama, and only afterwards does it teach us the dinim of Egla Rufa, which many Mefarshim find difficult, because if we'll really look at it, there are more halachas regarding the Mashuach Mechama than regarding the Egla Rufa. The Mefarshim explain as follows. The perek of Mashuach Mechama is a shorter perek than the perek of Egla Rufa, because even though the halachas of Mashuach Mechama may be more extensive than the halachas of Egla Rufa, but the Gemara is shorter, and our Gemara first speaks about the shorter subject. Perek Egla Rufa has a lot of agadata with related subjects, and Bechlal, the Mefarshim say that the Gemara wanted to end the Masechta with Divrei Haggadah, which is very common that we find in many Masechtas. Tosfos also points out that in the previous parak, when we spoke about the Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol and the Kriyas HaTorah of the Melech, the Mishnah used the words Parshas Kohen Gadol, Parshas HaMelech. Here, the Mishnah just says Mashuach Mechama, doesn't say the word Parsha. So Tosfos explains that when we speak about the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, as we have been saying, the obligation is for them to read. And therefore, it says Parshas HaMelech, Parshas Kohen Gadol. They have to read these parshas. Here, it's not the speech which is important. What's important is that what the people hear. And therefore, the focus is not on Parsha, it's what the Mashuach Mechama says. What does he say? B'shash medab ala'am, when he spoke to the people, B'lashon Kodesh haya medaber, he would speak in Lashon Kodesh. Shenemar, v'haya b'kervchem el mechama, v'nigash ha'koyin, who is that? Is that Koyin Mashuach Mechama? V'diba ala'am, he has to speak B'lashon HaKodesh. As Mefarshim discussed, does he have to specifically speak in Lashon HaKodesh, but he doesn't have to specifically use the words of the Torah? Or, what the Mishnah also means to say, that not only does the Mishnah teach us that he has to speak in Lashon HaKodesh, but he has to use the exact words that the Torah uses. Why, asked the Mefarshim, is it so important that he speak specifically in Lashon HaKodesh? So I saw two pshatim. The Ben Yoyada explains, because we know that one of the characteristics that make Lashon HaKodesh unique is that there are no words in Lashon HaKodesh for the private parts of a human being, because Lashon HaKodesh represents a language which is Kodesh, which is holy. As Klal Yisrael goes into war, they need the schus of their acting the Kedusha of a Tahara, which is represented by Lashon HaKodesh. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that every nation has a malach in heaven that is its malach. And in order for us to prevail over the malachim in this world, we have to be able first to prevail over the malach in Shemayim. Lashon HaKodesh is the way we could prove that we are greater than these malachim. Because the Medrash says, Klal Yisrael is greater than malachim. Because Klal Yisrael is able to say Hashem's name after only mentioning two words. Shema Yisrael, those are two words, and immediately they could say Hashem Elokeinu. Malachim only could say Hashem's name after saying three words. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So since Lashon Kodesh represents our superiority over Malachim, so now as we go into war, we want to make that point, and that's why we say it, we say the Meshuch Mechama speaks Lashon Kodesh. And he says to the Amalem, Shema Yisrael, you're going to war, Alavaychem. And he said, what he's saying to them, you're going to war in enemies, Loy Alachechem, you're not going to war with your brothers. Loy Yehuda al Shimon, for Loy Shimon al Binyamin, it's not Yehuda and Shimon Binyamin who are all brothers who are going into war. And the Mepharshim point out why do we mention specifically these three Shvatim. So I saw two Pshatim. One Pshat is that we know that the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos. And all of us are really descendants of Yehuda and Binyamin. But it's not really only Yehuda and Binyamin. Since the portion of Shimon was right next to the portion of Yehuda and Binyamin, and therefore, in all likelihood, many members of Shevet Shimon remained with Yehuda and Binyamin. And therefore, what the Mishnah means, that these are the Jews that we're left with. Another pshat that the Mepharshim say is that most typically, one, unfortunately, is more likely to fight with his enemies than with someone, with his neighbors, than with someone he doesn't have any connection with. As we just said, Shevet Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shimon were all neighbors to each other. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that these neighbors who are most likely to fight with each other still are, we're better off fighting amongst ourselves than when we fight with the Umas Ha'olam. Because as the Pasuk says, as the Mishnah says, Shetiplu b'yadam, if we fall into their hands, Yirachmu aleichem, they will have rachmanus on us. K'mosh nemer, as the Pasuk says, when there was a battle between Yehuda and Yisrael, v'yikuma anashim eshenikvu b'shemis, the people who were mentioned, v'yachziku b'shivya, they took captives from Yehuda. However, v'yikuma rimeyem helbishu min hasholem, those who weren't wearing clothing, they put on clothing from them, from what they got in battle. V'yalbishum, v'yanilum, v'yachilum, v'yashkum, v'yasuchim. They put on clothing again. And as the Mepharshim explained, why does the Pasuk say that they put on clothing on them twice? What the Pasuk means to say is, first they used the clothing that they were able to get in battle. But when those clothing, when that wasn't enough, they put on from their own. And as the Mepharshim also point out, even though they were told to act this way by the enemy, by the Navi, they were not at that point acting so properly that they would always listen to a Navi. So this proves their virtue. Anyone who stumbled was led by a donkey. They were treated respectfully even though they were enemies. But they were all part of Klal Yisrael. However, here he tells them, you're going to hold battle with enemies. Shem tiplu b'yadam, if chas v'sham you fall into their hands, ein merachem aleichem, they will not have any mercy on you. Al yeruch l'vavchem, al tiru v'al tachpesu. Al yeruch l'vavchem, don't let your heart become weak. V'mnei tzalef susim v'tzich tzicharovis. Don't get concerned with the horses' noises and the glittering swords. Al tiru v'mnei gofes trifim v'shvasis glaksim. Don't be afraid of the shields that are clashing, of the many soldiers. Al tachpesu, don't panic, mikol kronos, that they blew with shofars. Al ta'artsu, mikol tzvachos, and don't become broken by the sound of their shouting. Here we have a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim, machlokes Ramban and Rambam. This pasuk does it represent a lav, or does it represent just a haftacha that they have nothing to be scared of? The Rambam says that this pasuk is teaching us a lav, that a Jew as he goes into war has to be strong and not be frightened. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Yoina says that this doesn't only speak to somebody going to war. There's a lav for a Jew ever to be scared. A Jew has to have a muna bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban, however, disagrees, and he says that the pasuk is telling us a haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us, which the Stipler and many other mefarshim find difficult to understand. Are we guaranteed to win every battle? Did Klal Yisrael indeed ever win every battle? So what the Stipler says, the Ramban means to say, is what that the pasuk is teaching us. We may win, we may not win, but what will certainly not, what certainly will not cause victory or loss is the noise and the sounds that the enemy makes. The outcome of the battle depends if Klal Yisrael in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are worthy of victory or not. But it doesn't depend on what they do. Continues the Gemara. The Kohen says, continues the Mishnah. The Kohen says, Keshem alakeichem hoylech amechem hoylech imachem. Hein ba'am minitzchani shabas v'dam. They're coming, they rely on people. Vatim ba'am minitzchani shamachem. You're relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Plishtim ba'am minitzchani shagolius. As we're going to learn the Gemara about Golius. Mak ha'yusayfa. He fell at a sword, the Naflo Amoy, and his nation fell with him. Bnei Amon, Bob and Itzchon Shal Shoivach, Mayu Soifoi, was Soif Naflo Becherev, Naflo Amoy, and they, Naflo Imoy, they fell with him. Vatim Iatim Kain, however, you have nothing to do, worry about that, Keshem Al Kechem Hoylech Imachem Lelochalem, Zamachna Oren. And most of Farshim explained that the Oren, which had in it the Shivrei Luchas, traveled with Klal Yisrael as they went into battle. Another pshat that I saw, as the Mefarshim explained, is that when we go into battle, Kavayochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going along with us. And certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be out in battle, and he will be, he who has all the power to save himself from the battle will help us also be saved from any tzaris. Another pshat that they took along the Oren is to represent that our Yeshua could come through the Oren, through learning Torah. My comma, ask the Gemara, how do we understand from our Mishnah, how do we understand from these words of the Pasuk that the Kohen, the Meshuch Mechama must speak in Lashon Kodesh? Says the Gemara, Shenem V'Diber. Here the Pasuk says V'Diber, Olahalon Uaymer, Moshe Yadabe V'Elikim, Yanena V'Kol. This regarding the Seris Adibris. Mal Halon, he spoke B'Loshon HaKodesh, Afkan B'Loshon HaKodesh. Tan Rabbon, V'Nigash HaKoyin V'Diber Ha'olam. The Kohen comes and speaks to the people. Yochel Kol Koyin Sheyirtza. Any Kohen could do, make this speech. Tamalayim V'Dibru HaShaitrim. The Pasuk compares the Kohen to the Shaitrim, the Kohen who makes the speech to the Shaitrim. Ma Shaitrim Mimuna. A Shaitr is somebody who was appointed to that position. Af Kohen, it must be someone who was Mimuna, who was appointed to that position. Says the Gemara, fine, it has to be an appointed individual, but maybe it's the Kohen Gadol, the Eimer Kohen Gadol, Dumya the Shaitr. Ma Shaitr Yesh Mimuna Al Gabav. The Shaitr has the Shaitrit, who is Mimuna on top of him. Af Kohen, there has to be a Kohen that has someone appointed on top of him, Shesh Mimun Al Gabov, and the Kohen Gadol has no one appointed over him. So it can't represent the Kohen Gadol. Ask the Gemara, Kohen Gadol Nami Hikam Melech Agabov. The Kohen Gadol has to show respect to the Melech. Says the Gemara, Bavoy Dosa Kama. Yes, the Melech, in the hierarchy, may be higher than the Kohen Gadol. But when it comes to the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol doesn't report or relate to the Melech. And that's why it can't be the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara of Amos Skan. Fine, it can't be the Kohen Gadol, but we know, as we've been learning, every Kohen Gadol had a Skan, who was the backup Kohen in case something should happen to the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Skan lav memunahu. The Skan is not a person appointed to his position. The Tanya, of Amr Rav Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, Rav Chanina, who was the Skan of Kohanim, and the Farshim say, why is he called Skan HaKohanim? So I saw a very nice pshat. We know that in the Bayis Sheni, the position of Kohen Gadol was a corrupted position. People who really weren't worthy of that position obtained it through paying for it. And therefore the Gemara says, the Masechta Yuma, they did not survive. There were many, many Kohanim Gedolim serving through the time of the Bayis Sheni, unlike the Bayis Rishon, that in its entire history there were only 12 Kohanim Gedolim. However, if Chanina, who was a tzaddik, remained alive, so Gemara calls him Rakina Sgan HaKohanim, he was the Skan for many Kohanim. What is he appointed for? He's only appointed Shem Irba Psuka Kohen Gadol, something should happen to the Kohen Gadol, Chas V'Shalom, Nechtas V'Shimish Tachtav. He takes over. So he's not in a position that he's appointed, and we're saying that the person has to be someone who is appointed, so obviously it's not the Skan. And he says to the Amaleim, Shema Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Maishna Shema Yisrael. And there are two ways of understanding the Gemara's question. One way of understanding the Gemara's question is, why does he use the words Shema Yisrael? Another way of understanding is that the Pasuk already says, Omer Aleihem, that he says to them, that he speaks to them. So why does the Pasuk have to repeat with the words Shema Yisrael? Amr Rav Yochanan Shimon Shim ben Yochai, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Afilu lo kiyamtem ele Krishma Shachas V'Arvis. Even if you will fulfill this mitzvah, only this mitzvah of Krishma Shachas V'Arvis, Yatem Nesorim B'Yodom, you have nothing to fear. Pasuk Pshat is that the mitzvah of Krishma represents such an important mitzvah, because it speaks about Yichud Hashem, that we are Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us, and therefore that schus can help us. Others explain, especially as we know, Shema Yisrael is supposed to be recited by wearing tefillin, so Shema Yisrael comes together with wearing tefillin, and that's why it represents a very important mitzvah that could say, that could help us prevail in Melchama. Another pshat that I saw is that typically the Goyim would worship the sun and the moon. The sun comes out in the morning, the moon comes out in the evening. So at the time when the Goyim are worshipping their Avodah Zarah, we say Shema Yisrael to, as an antidote against their Avodah Zarah. Another pshat is that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that if somebody sees that the Yetzirah is prevailing over him, Yasek B'Torah. If that doesn't work, Yikr Krishma. If that doesn't work, Vimlav Yasek Lo Yom HaMisa. So when somebody's in battle, he can't learn Torah. He's in the middle of being at war. We certainly don't want him to be Masek Yom HaMisa, think about death. We want him to be strong as he enters battle. So the only advice that we have for such a person is saying Shema Yisrael. Another pshat is, and this is connected to the previous Gemara, is that we know the pasuk says that every Jew has to learn Torah every day. Now, how can we learn Torah every day? So Rabbi Yochanan says, if we say Shema Yisrael in the morning and the evening, we are yoytz. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, v'dovah zeh osa la'amroi l'fnei ama'oritz. Now let us say this in front of an ama'oritz, because he'll just say Shema, and he thinks with that he doesn't have to learn anymore. So that's why he says Shema Yisrael, that a Jew has to learn. We don't say it in any other language besides Lashon HaKodesh, so that Maratzim should not learn this. The Rabbi Shlomo Volbo in the Sefer Ali Shor says, from here we say, all you need to say is Shema Yisrael. The two words, Shema Yisrael, are enough to help us. They represent what it's all about. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, what we're saying here is that just, and as we said earlier, just as there's a physical battle between us and our animal enemies, there's a spiritual battle. And for us to be able to prevail in the physical battle, we have to be able to prevail in the spiritual battle, which is represented by us saying Shema Yisrael. And that's, says the Chafetz Chaim, is the basis for the minig, that whenever, if someone is chas v'sholem in tzaris, he screams out the words Shema Yisrael. So the Kohen said, Al yerech levachem al tiru toner abonim p'mayim v'dabri imam. He speaks to them twice. Achas b'sfar, once is at the border on the way to war. Others say achas b'sefer, he has to speak to them, read the parasha out of the sefer. V'achas b'mechoma, and one as they go into battle. B'sfar, on the border, ma'u oimer, what does he say to them? Shimu dvarai, me'archim echoma v'chizru. Listen to what I have to say, and those that are exempt should go home. B'mechoma, but when he's already at battle, ma'u oimer, ayerech levavchem, atiru v'atachbos v'atertzu. K'neged abedvarim, sha'ovdu k'chavim oisim, because the goyim do four things as they go into war. Menifa marim, they clash their shields, they blow their horns. Tzofch v'ramtsim, they scream, and they have their horses stamp. And therefore, to show us that we have nothing to fear, they used these, the Kohen says these four things against them. So the Mishnah said, Plishtim bob in the tzchanyin shal Golius. Golius, Amr Rav Yochanan, sh'omed begilui ponim ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Golius spoke brazenly against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar, as Golius said, Bur lechem ish, choose a peace person, v'yerir alai, and let him come down to me. Vein ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was sort of challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says, Hashem ish mechama, as the Mefarshim explained, what Golius was saying was that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas v'Shalom to say this even, was once strong, he had lost his strength. Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Hareyu mapilu al yad ben ish. I will have Boaz fall by somebody who's a ben ish. He isn't a person on his own yet. He's still a son of someone else. He's still relying on his father. He hasn't even completely matured. Shnema, v'David ben ish afrosi hazeh. Om Rav Yochanan Shimon Rameya. B'shloish mekomis lochtu piv lois rosha. Three times Goliath said something that showed that he would eventually fall. The number three, the Ben Yoyada says, represents a chazaka. Another pshat that he says is that we find that Goliath had three types of weapon. And another pshat is that Goliath was the third of the four brothers that the Gemara is going to mention that there were. He said, Echad, the first time that we see that he already started predicting his own downfall, he said, Bur lechem ish v'yeredalai. He said, the person will fall. Ve'idach, imyuchel lechem iti v'ikani. He will be able to hit me. Ve'idach, tekom le l'david, hakel v'anoichi, am I a dog? Ki'at abo alai b'maklis. Again, that he was saying that David Melech will be able to come upon him. Ask the Gemara, David nami amalei. Didn't David say this also? So David Melech said that Goliath will come upon him. Says the Gemara, Hada Amalei, but David said, he completed his statement. He was saying that he's coming together with Hashem Hashem. That was the point of his sentence. And therefore, Chas v'Shalom, there was absolutely no indication that he would fall into the hands of Goliath. V'yigash ha-plishti hashkeim v'erev. So the Gemara says, Omer, what was his point? K'dei levatlam v'krishma shachs v'arvis. As we learned earlier, the power of Krishma, and he wanted to stop them from saying Krishma, which has such a tremendous power, as we said. V'shatzev aboim yoim, what's aboim yoim? Omer av yoichanan, k'neged aboim yoim shenet mem tayra. So there's a machlokes how to understand this. Most Mefarshim explain that it took 40 days from when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai until he came down. So those 40 days, Klai Yisrael did not have Torah, and That's why he was able to taunt them for 40 days. The Mefarshim explained Klal Yisrael didn't do anything wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu needing to be in Shemayim for 40 days. And that's why the Rishonim quote a Medrash, as we're going to learn, Golius was the son of Arpa, and Arpa took 40 steps together with her mother-in-law Naomi, and that's why he was able to do this for 40 days. Why is he called Benayim? Shmavunam mikol mum. He was free of any blemish. Shmulama beinonish ba'achiv. He was the middle brother. The Beit Rav Shela Amar shu'asi kabinyan. He was built like a building. That he was very strong. Rav Yochanan Amar bamei papi v'chad nanai. He was the son of 100 stepfathers and one real father. So Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is that 101 men had relations with his mother, and he didn't know which was his father and which wasn't his father. Another Peshat is that all 101 men had relations with his mother on one night. And even though a woman cannot conceive only from one man, some Rishonim want to suggest that's once the child has somewhat been conceived, then she cannot conceive and the other man's relations with her has no influence. But here all of these relations took place in such close proximity one to the other that all of these people were his father. Another pshat was that she had relations with 100 men and with one dog, and he was the product of all of that. The Gol Yishmoy Megas Amr Tani Reb Yosef Shakel Doshnas Imoy. Everybody pressed down on his mother, kagas, like a wine press. How do we know this pshat? Because like the Mashal says, the Pasuk said, it should have said, Golius Hagiti. What does it say, the Golius Shmoy Megas? To teach us this limud. Ksiv Ma'orois V'Karina Marochus. Tan Rabbi Yosef, Shahakal Harabi Imoy. Many men had relations with his mother. Ksiv Harfa, Ksiv Arpa. Once his mother is called Harfa, and once it's called Arpa. Rav Shmuel, Chanama Harfa Shma. Her real name was Harfa. V'lam Nikra Shma Arpa. Shehakel Oifrena Samechera. That she had relations with many men, and those relations were in an unnatural way. V'chanama Arpa Shma. V'lam Nikra Shma Harfa. Shehakel Doshna Sebarifus. That she was pressed upon like kernels of wheat are pressed upon. V'keno Oimer. V'tikach Isha. V'tifres Hamosach Apriya Be'er. V'tishtach Aleya Harifus. This is referring to when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul and he hid in a well, and a woman covered it with a blanket and then put these kernels on top of it. If you crush a fool with a mortar, then you could, the way you crush kernels. Saf umodan Golius v'yishvi benoiv. Those were Harfa's four sons. V'yiplu b'yad David b'yad avadov. The ksiv. Why? How did it happen that David was able to prevail? The ksiv. V'tishak Arpa l'chamosoi v'rus dofkeba. We know the story with Rus and Naomi and Arpa. Arpa kissed her mother-in-law and left her. On the other hand, Rus remained with Naomi and ultimately was the forebearer of David HaMelech. Amar b'yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovah b'nei Neshuka, let Arpa, who gave Rus, and the Medrash says she gave Rus four kisses, gave Naomi four kisses, and that's why she had these four sons, v'yiplu, and they fell, v'yad b'nei Advuka, in the hands of Rus's children, who remained with Klal Yisrael. Darash Rava, beside them, Abar Demas. We know that as Arpa was taking leave of her mother-in-law Naomi, she shed four tears. Sheherida Arpa al-Chamasa, Zachsa v'yotzim en arba gebayrim. Shenema v'tiskenu koyla v'tifkenu ayit. Ksiv chetz chanitzoy. The person says his shield, v'krina etz chanitzoy. Omer v'lozer. Adayin lahigyanu l'chatzi shivchoy shaloi surasha. We don't even know, we haven't even been able to talk about half of his power. Just why don't we? Mikan, We're not allowed to speak about all of the great things about Rishoyim. It goes back to what we've been discussing in the previous sugya, the sugya of Chanifa. We're not allowed to be Chanif Rishoyim. Ask the Gemara, if so, v'loy liftach bei klal. So why do we say anything nice about him? Says the Gemara, l'du shivchei de David, to tell us how great David the Melech was, that even though Goliath was so strong, David the Melech was able to prevail over him. And here, the Pesach can point out that even though, as we've been learning, there is a Isser to do Chanifa, but if through doing the Chanifa we will be able to point out the greatness of tzaddikim and good people, that isn't considered Chanifa. Continues the Gemara. Bnei Amon, Bo b'netzchayna shel Shoivach. Ksiv Shoivach, one place it's called Shoivach, another place it's called Shoivach. Rav Shmuel, I'm a charam of Shoivach Shmoy. His name was Shoivach, v'lamanikramay Shoivach, Shasuk Shoivach. Most of my first explained that he was as tall as a Shoivach, very tall. Others say that a Shoivach has in it many compartments. So too, he wore armor that had in it many compartments to keep his weapons in. Whoever saw him became frightened, and nishpich lefanav kakitin, and he started urinating like you pour out of a flask. Rav Shmuel, Vamri loy, Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Charama, b'shash zarkin chaitz, when people would shoot an arrow, oisin ashpes ashpes shalchalolim, they would make piles, heaps of corpses. V'shematayimish umnam b'karev. Maybe you'll say that this is referring to the army of Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe you'll say they were very great warriors. Tamalayim kulam gebayrim. They were all fighters. They were all mighty warriors. V'charam v'shash oisin tzuchayim. When they went to the bathroom, oisin ashpes ashpes shel zevel. They made many heaps of waste. And you could suggest because they were sick. They were all strong and healthy, and they just ate a lot, and they made a lot of waste. From here we see someone who goes to the bathroom and expels a lot of waste. It's a simon, it's a sign that there's a stomach ailment. Why do we need to know? So you should go to a doctor and get healed. The pasuk says, Rav Ami, Rav Ami, Rasi. If somebody has a worry, he should try to take it away. He should mention it to other people. And as the Mefarshim explained, it's really not necessarily a machloikis. First, the person should try to get it out of his mind. If he isn't successful in getting it out of his mind, then he should mention it to other people. Why? Because as the Mefarshim explained, daiga, a worry, is the worst thing because it represents the opposite of emunah and bitachon. Why should he say it to someone else? So the Mefarshim explained, two pshatim were mentioned. One pshat is that the Gemara says that if somebody davens, so therefore we should ask someone to daven on our behalf, and those tefillahs will be answered. Another pshat that the Bnei Yisoscha says is as follows: that even if Chas V'Sholem one was, so to speak, sentenced that he would have daigus, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of his family and friends had the same sentence, had the same gzar din. So if somebody has something to worry about, he should go mention it to other people. Those people not necessarily have to have that daiga. And by him mentioning that daiga to other people, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted that those people should have the daiga, and therefore that's a way that the daiga will go away. One more pshat. We know that throughout Shas, Acherim is always another way of meaning Reb Meir. And what the Gemara says is, Dag Belevish. If somebody has something to worry about, Yasichenu L'Acherim, he should give tztaka to Acherim, he should give tztaka. This is the source for the minig, that he should give tzedakah to Rameya Bal Hanes, daiga b'levish, irachman al tzlan, somebody has a daiga, yasichenu l'acherim, he should go to Rameya Bal Hanes, he should give tzedakah to Rameya, to a tzedakah of Rameya Bal Hanes, and in that way, the tzara will go away, and I'll have Yeshua.